Close your eyes and watch your breath. Stay with the breath all the way in, all the way out. Each breath coming in, each breath going out. Try to be true to your meditation. If you're true to your meditation, then the results will be true. If you do it just in showing the form, in other words, you're sitting here with your eyes closed, but your mind is off someplace else, you're not going to get the good results. So bring your mind in line with your body right now. Your body is telling everybody you're meditating, so get the mind into concentration. And make the breath comfortable. Make this a good place to stay. If you're going to stay here for a long time, you've got to have some strategies in making the mind want to stay here. And one of them is to breathe in a way that's comfortable. In other words, to remind yourself that while you're doing this, you're not harming anybody at all. You're looking for happiness in a responsible way. It's not harming you, not harming anybody else. You have potentials for well-being inside. If those potentials go undeveloped, then you don't get any much use out of them. So you can develop them. We have that opportunity. After all, we are human beings. We're not driven around by instinct all the time. We have the opportunity to step back and look at our lives, see what's worthwhile and what's not. It's one of the reasons why every week we have the recitation of the precepts and the recitation of the refuges to remind ourselves of what our values are. If you want to live a moral life, you have to have principles and you have to have specific rules. Because sometimes principles can get squishy. And rules tell you this is the line, don't cross the line here. The mind needs both the general principles to run us why in general we're doing this. We have the example of the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. We take refuge in them in the sense that we take them as our examples. This is how happiness is found in the world, in a responsible way, through wisdom, through compassion, through purity, all the good qualities that the Buddha developed, and he taught us to develop too. He didn't maintain rights of these things. He said these are qualities every human being has. In his awakening, he developed qualities that we all have, which shows that his awakening shows something about our own potential. So we have the potential through our actions to find a way that we can stop causing ourselves suffering, stop causing needless suffering to others. That's a good principle to hold in mind. That's why we have the precepts to draw some lines to make sure that we don't get squishy in our principles, start making excuses. No killing, no stealing, no illicit sex, no lying, no taking intoxicants. It's in this way, in a combination of principles and precepts, that our virtue becomes complete. As the Buddha said, virtue is one of our most prized possessions, our most valuable possessions. And out of the precepts, the one that's most important is the one against lying. As the Buddha said, if you can tell a deliberate lie without any sense of shame, there's no evil you can't do. That's the test. That's the sign of how true you are in your precepts. It's very easy to lie. Because all you have to do is just open your mouth and say something that's not quite right, not quite accurate, intentionally. If you do it by mistake, that's something else. But if you intentionally distort the truth, then how are you going to find the truth? You're misleading other people. That creates the kind of karma that if they catch you in lying, there's a break in the trust. It's because we tell truth to one another, we can live together with one another and trust one another. So make sure that you're especially careful about that fourth precept, the precept against lying. And there's the general principle that you want to be true in your life. Because if you want to find the truth, you have to act in a true way, you have to speak in a true way, you have to think in a true way. So think about the principles of why we have this ceremony every week, taking the refuges to remind ourselves of our principles, taking the precepts to remind ourselves that there are certain rules that make it possible for us to live with one another. This follows the example of the monks. Every 2 weeks they meet, and one of the monks will chant the basic principles, basic precepts the monks have to follow. This is something that the Buddha established years back. It's been carried on every year, ever since then, to remind the monks of this is how you can live together in peace and in harmony. Because we come from all kinds of places, different nationalities, different levels of society, different levels of education. But what makes us able to live with one another, in spite of our different opinions about things in the world outside, is because we see that the precepts are important. And we treat one another in line with the precepts, then we can trust one another. Living together then becomes an aid to our practice. And the same principle applies to society in general. You see it when people start lying without any sense of shame. They're presented with evidence that they lied when they continue in their lies. That's the kind of thing that breaks society apart. So to keep us living together as human beings, make sure that you hold to the precepts, hold to the principles of wisdom, compassion, and purity. That way our life together becomes a good life to have together, one in which we can practice with a sense of security, sense of well-being, that we're all in this together. And we're all helping one another as best we can.